a huge week in review this week. There's a few gifts that keep on giving. The poor old West Tigers, I'm actually starting to feel sorry for their fans. I never thought I'd hear the day. We touch on Oscar Piastri's F1 woes. The WBBL, another unbelievable moment there. And, of course, we talk Ashes. And, wow, what a performance from both teams. One for the good, one for the not so good. We unpack all of that and more today. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Steve, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Hawk, it's been a big week in sport, mate. Some laughable moments, some moments to get you fired up and angry. We could have a blow-up in us today, but been well, buddy. How you going?
Yeah, really good. We did talk last week about hopefully this time next week we'd be sitting here as the test finished, but it was even better. Finished 4 days. Mate, I don't know about you, but I watched nearly every ball on that couch.
Yeah.
One of the great test matches.
Yeah, glorious. To get 4 days, as we said, five would have been tremendous, but we're probably hoping too much there. But 4 days was awesome, mate. I was coming off a Christmas party on the Saturday night. So Sunday at 3 o'clock our time, when it rolled on, it was a glorious time.
Yeah, very good. We'll get into the Ashes in a bit. We talked about the gifts that keep on giving, and one of those is the West Tigers. Oh, my God. I think I said 1 week we talked about it going, I feel sorry for the West fans, but not that much because, you know, I've been through enough. But no, I actually genuinely feel sorry for them after what's unfolded in the last week.
Well, that's the blow up, mate. I just can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what these people are trying to do. It's one after the other. It's comical capers. I mean, you talk about, we spoke earlier about our young blokes being too young to remember Balmain or the West Magpies. Yeah. Can you imagine being a young fella looking up to your old man who's a West Tigers fan and supporting them? It'd just be, you'd want to change your last name. Like, I can't believe that a whole generation, 25 years they've been going, and this is just shit fight after shit fight.
You know what it'd be? It'd be like when my young fella asked me after we were going through our three wooden spoons in a row or whatever it was in the mid-2010s, when he said, why did you choose the Eels, Dad? And then worse, I think I might change teams. And by the third one in a row, I'm like, mate, I can't stop you. He decided to stay loyal in the end, but mate, I couldn't have blamed if he chose someone else.
Yeah, you can't tell me that this isn't going to leave a damage. I mean, we spoke a few weeks ago about Richardson being switched on, good operator. Surely they can't get rid of him. And not only have they gotten rid of him, but now they're trying to water down the get-out clause with some underhand shady dealings in their mind. It just reeks. The biggest biggest funny moment of the whole thing is we've heard the Manly, ex-Manly boss, Tony Meschoff, going in. Now, give me a spell.
I could not believe it when I read that. Fuck me.
Mate, Tony Meschoff is the two Trbojevic's away from being worse than the Tigers. Like, let's be honest, if the Trbojevic's weren't at Manly, they would have out-shit the Tigers for the last decade. And now they're going to put this bloke in the role? Like, mate, he might be a great bloke, who knows, but he's not able to deal with NRL level, let alone get the Tigers out of this shitstorm.
Maybe the good word is, though, he'll just do as he's told, because that was part of the problem. Commercially, apparently Manly flying, but football's a lot more than just commercially. Unbelievable. Yeah. Just for those who don't know the whole situation, I was trying to explain this really quickly to my son. We had to go all the way back to the Super League War, so we won't bore with that part. But basically, where we're at the moment is that the West part have all the cash. So the Holman Barnes Group own the league's clubs, where all the cash comes from. And the Tigers is where all the brand collateral is, where, like, basically each of them know they need each other, but each of them would be happy happy to see the back of them. And yeah. So what's unfolded is the independent board that they put in place maybe has become a little bit too swayed towards the Balmain side of the joint venture, and the West side didn't like that, so they've just pulled the rug.
Yeah. I guess the bottom line is West can make a decision. Either they're going to be the West Tigers in the NRL, or they can play at Lincoln Oval against Newtown in reserve grade. Right? I don't get it. Yeah. Correct. It's just ludicrous to think that they are going to continue going down the path they're going down. They treat the fans with total disrespect, doing what they're doing. They've put together a fairly decent roster. The May brothers are Origin caliber. If they keep improving, the Penrith, they've signed three or four from Penrith that have obviously carried them the backbone. There's some green shoots, right? They made money off the field. So while they're a long way off being the powerhouse of the Broncos or the Storm, there's positive signs if you're a fan, but they've just found another way just to put themselves into a hole, and God knows Tony Mistroff's not going to fix them on the field. I can tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the concern is exactly what Richardson said in his farewell. He didn't basically rip into him, but he did say like that this club could cease to exist, and he feels for the fans. You think of how many, I don't know if you know many Norse fans, but I kind of grew up in a North Sydney area. We used to get the free tickets to go and see the Bears, and a few of my mates are Bears fans, and they just stopped following the game. Not just stopped following their team. They just got out altogether because they're like, I can't do this. And that's what happened to a lot of the Tigers. Some may force themselves to follow someone else, but that's hard to do. I couldn't imagine it.
No, and to our point of 25 years now, there's rusted on West Tigers fans, right? Yeah. So that they support the joint venture. They don't know about Western Suburbs Magpies. They don't know about Balmain Tigers.
They give a shit.
They're going to alienate them. And I can tell you from up here in Queensland, the Western Corridor of Queensland's Brisbane is exploding. They'll take a team tomorrow. There's the second team in New Zealand that'll take a team tomorrow. So they keep pushing. Valandis isn't one to muck around. He's got more than enough in Western Sydney.
And it's not the same, but there's a Tigers brand in the Q Cup. That would just be a really simple rollover. We're going to be calling them. Is it East Brisbane, is it?
Yeah, it is, mate. Spot on. Yeah,
and East Brisbane Tigers. Yeah, way you go. Roll them in there.
Yeah, 100%, mate. They've got a good leagues club that backs them. The stadium's probably a little central to Brisbane, but they could certainly, you know, head towards Ipswich territory as well and pick up all those young fans out there. So, look, it'd be devastating to see the West Tigers cease to exist, but if that happens, they've only got themselves to blame because they're asking for it right now.
100%. Well, the only negative part of this is all unfolding in the off season, and we don't get to see the all the different analysts rip into them because, mate, what a debacle!
Yeah,
crazy. All right, I think we'll leave the Tigers alone. They've just been bashed from pillar to post for a few years now, and you didn't think it could get worse, and here we are.
Yeah. I don't know whether we'll speak too fondly of them on our season preview, mate, for 2026, because this is going to put a serious dent in them, I think, but we'll leave that till then.
Yeah, we will. The F1. Now, one of my mates commented on one of my posts saying, maybe even messaged me saying, you should talk about the F1 a couple of weeks ago when, you know, Piastri was getting basically screwed over by McLaren. And I just said to him, mate, I can't get into it. Everyone said, I do drive to survive. It'll get you in, but I just couldn't. Like, I get V8s, right? Like, there's a tribal thing. It's like there's actually some overtaking, but this just, it just bores me to tears, I've got to be honest. I don't know where you sit with it.
Yeah, look, I'm not a monster fan. There seems to be a lot of politics with the drivers, you know, the different ownership groups. It seems to be a lot of politics, and it's more about, you know, who they want to win and who they want to push rather than, you know, who's got the fastest car and who's the best driver. So, I'm not a massive fan, mate.
Yeah, you're spot on. That's what it seems to be. From the non-F1 fan outside looking in, it just looks like they're trying to dictate who they want to win. And again, this could just be a bit of Aussie bias, but it feels like Ricciardo got the same treatment. Weber, to a certain degree, with when Vettel was up coming through, and now the same thing with Piastri after he looked for all money the winner halfway through the season. Yeah,
it's
interesting. Well, We'd be talking more about it if he'd won, but he didn't. So, stiff shit, let's move on. A good story from the weekend was the galleries at the Australian Open Golf. How good was that? Yeah. Crack of dawn, 7 o'clock tee off time, and the galleries are pachockers.
Yeah, unbelievable. They're talking upwards of 30,000 to see. Obviously, we had the big draw card. A couple of big draw cards come over. Rory McIlroy being the big one. Yeah. The hometown, you know, regardless of whole, the Live Golf and PGA, wherever you sit on that, you're an Aussie, you're back in Smith all the way. You got so bloody close, especially after missing the cut last week. To get so bloody close on this one, he was trying so hard. I think that last bogey on the 18 where he could have pushed for a playoff, I think it just hurt him, mate. He bailed out left when the two boys were basically in their pockets.
Going at it, yeah.
Going at it. So he sort of played the smart golf, but just bailed out too far left and three-putted. So that was tough for him.
Yeah, his second putt. Oh, sorry, His first putt was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But what about the up down from old mate who won it? The Danish bloke, was he? From rough between bunkers. That was some up and down from there.
Yeah, unbelievable. The commentators basically said that's it. You may as well shut up shop when the ball goes in. For him to get up and down. To your point around the crowd, they were right on him at that stage as well. They were giving it to him. They were cheering Smith on, and they were close to him. So for him to achieve that up and down and win is a huge deal for him. He had to win that to qualify for Augusta next year, his first ever appearance at Augusta, I believe. So big deal for him. So good on him. But, unfortunately for poor old Smith, it would have been the one that he was so close to getting. So hopefully he gets one day, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was clutch by the winner, that part, because like you said, the fans were giving him all sorts of advice on how he should be playing. And again, we just come back to the actual event. I mean, I'm sure Rory was paid good money to speak highly of it, but there was I was reading plenty of articles from the US talking about just what a great golf course it is, what a great setup, how well backed it is. I mean, of all the Live Golf events, I don't think any of them are backed as well as the Adelaide event, where the Aussie fans just get behind it. It's what Norman was pushing for all along. It's like a proper world tour where we look after all of the different golf strongholds around the world. And to me, it's just another great advertisement. You only had to get a few names here and look at what they produce.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's golf in the old days, right? They used to tour the world and play everywhere. Now it's just that American Central with the PGA Tour. So to see them come out, Max Homa, leading player in the world's tweeting, you know, I feel like I should be in Melbourne right now. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, so for them to get that exposure, the Australian game, golf in the country is just going berserk all over the country. So to see those crowds is awesome, right? So hopefully they keep on building on this and they can get them back next year again.
Yeah,
but hats off to Smith. Adam Scott has always been a huge one to come back and play in local tournaments. But those guys, they've got the coin, right? They don't need to come back and play, but they do. And they're just two of them, right? The list goes on. So Leishman's another one. It's good on them for doing it, supporting the local game.
Yeah, particularly Scott. I mean, the other two took the cash for Liv, which is fair enough. I'd be surprised if any of us people would knock it back. But one of the things that Smith talked about, apart from the bucket load of cash, was he gets to spend more time at home and he gets to play more Australian tournaments. And they do want to. Sometimes logistically it is a nightmare. So, yeah, Adam Scott's had a fairly full card in the PGA and he's come out and played. Mate, it's, good on him.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I missed this, but you told me talking about a gift that keeps on giving. Apparently there was a moment in the WBBL again this week.
Glorious, glorious. The gift that keeps giving after your story last week. So you wouldn't believe it, but the game got called off after the first innings because the roller ran over a cricket ball on the pitch and caused a divot that big they couldn't fix it. Now, for people who haven't seen a cricket pitch roller, my 97-year-old beautiful grandmother moves quicker. And for them to run over the ball is just comical. Like, it's, I can't even put it into words, mate. So, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next week. Stay tuned.
It's the bookmakers, mate. They've got a bet on. This is not going. It's not going how they want. So it's either rain or it's a ball under the roller.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it. Old mate's literally the steering wheel barely works. It crawls along. I don't know how anyone can run over a cricket ball, but
I don't even know how. Given how the whole design of it, I don't even know how the ball didn't just shoot out but it left it like it was a good hole.
Yeah. So yeah, first team got to bat, second team got to warm up and went home.
Speaking of warming up, we've just got warmed up, but we've hit the main part we really wanted to talk about, the Ashes.
Yes.
There's been moments in both test matches where I'm like, oh, we are actually in a little bit of trouble here. But they've just, like, we're finding ways to win. And I think Vaughnie talked about it. We're winning the big moments and they're just capitulating. It's unreal, but it's unbelievable. Let's unpack it.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you're 100% right, mate. I mean, there's some personal performances, again, that have been quite impressive. Obviously, Stark's taken 7, scored mid-70s with the bat. Nessa, you know, there's a lot of debate, you and I included, around the lineup. Nessa wasn't on our bingo card, so and he went and took 6. Ballard batted fairly solidly, and he got almost 20. So, you know, it's only the third time, I believe, an Australian team's batted, and all of them have reached double figures. Which, again, Doggett scoring over 10 was not on our bingo card.
No, I think it was, I think it's the only time. I don't even know if I
was it only time? Yeah, maybe. That's pretty rare. So, look, some standout performances, but big moments come along and an Australian stands up, right? Like we've got Joe Inglis, who's a wicketkeeper, throwing down one stump from 30 metres away, full stretch. Like that's
They got me out of my chair, that one.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Yeah.
So, I mean, we put a fair bit of shit on Root and 100 won't stop me, but good on him, he scored 100. But you take that away, once again, it just rolls through. I got to say, you know, to me it seemed day four. The Pommies were under new management. They come out on day four and I thought they actually played proper test match cricket, right? So, you know, Stokes and Jacks dug in with the bat, worked hard for their runs. And then they come out and bowled and finally showed a bit of mongrel with the ball with Archer. But it's taken till day four on the second test when they knew they couldn't win from where they were, like they were up against it. So whether something's clicked and they've changed and they said, hang about, lads, we've got to head in a different direction or not. But until then, it's just I'd be so disappointed if I was a fan.
It's too little too late. I remember years ago, the commentators back Channel 9 days used to talk about first innings runs and wickets are where it's at. Like anyone can come and score runs of the second innings when it's not on the line, but it's first innings when it's got to happen. And that interaction between Smith and Archer, that was just outstanding. Like he did the best comeback ever. Yeah. where was this when the game was on the line, champ? He's given him the champ.
That's exactly right. Well, you saw a bit of a shift in them. I certainly did on day four. It's too little too late. So, you know, whether they carry that in and start a test fresh in Adelaide, it's obviously a traditional, batter's wicket where they can, you know, push to head to day fives or not. It'll get to be seen. But if they roll out the way they've done in Perth and then the start of Brisbane, it'll be rinse and repeat.
Yeah, and they've got to win. And the way 100%. We're, for the first time in a while, there's actually a bit of confidence in our batting lineup. Marnus is back making runs. Smith's just going to keep churning them out. If Head gets away, they're fucked. Weatherall has looked really good in both test matches, even in a low scoring innings. In the first test, he looked compact. He looked solid. A couple of things that I just saw in some podcasts over the last few weeks. One of them was Ricky Ponting on the Mark Burris podcast, and they were mainly talking about wine because it's all about business, but they talked about cricket and Mark said to him, you know, there's plenty of talk about this being the best English team and the weakest Australian team for a long time and that sort of stuff. And Ponting was, there was such a great response. He said, you can say all that, but ultimately you've got to come here in Australia and you've got to beat Australia. And he said it with that real steel look that, you know, he was known for. And he's spot on. Like, teams don't come here and perform well. And when they do, it's big news. India did it a few tours back. The English did it in 10-11. But it was a monumental thing because it just doesn't happen. And you can say how good we are, but you just haven't been up to it.
No, 100%, mate. That was an excellent podcast, that with Ponning. I haven't really seen him talk like that too many times. But it's not to go back to rugby league, but it's Queensland and the Origin. It doesn't matter what's on paper. You've got to come out in 5 days and play cricket. They're trying to play this limited over style test match. And Australia are just too seasoned. They're too experienced, and you've got to earn it, right? Australia's not going to give you a test match. They're certainly not going to give you a series. You know, a lot of these players are starting to head to the end of could be their last Ashes. It'll probably be their last home Ashes, at least. They're not going to give it to you. And the Pommies have rocked up thinking, we're just going to go out and play 50 over cricket here and we're going to win the game. It doesn't happen. You know, we haven't had Cummins yet. Lions only played one test. We've had a rookie opening batsman. We're playing two keepers. If they can't beat Australia in these circumstances, it's only going to get worse, mate.
100%. You know that video that does the rounds every so often of that guy on some Spanish TV show, and he's just laughing hysterically, and they put the dubbing over the top. There's one of those for after the Perth test, and that's one of the things he's laughing about. He goes, and Cummings and Hazelwood didn't even play. It's one of the mate, it was outstanding. I'll see if I can dig it up while we keep talking. But ultimately it's they've come out with this, you know, new way, and it gets crowds in, but it's just not consistent. And I love the comment I saw from I think it might have been Alyssa Healy on the Willow Talk podcast when they were talking about, we've just done it by playing basic fundamentals. They've bowled good line and length. Carey's come up with the stumps to make sure they couldn't get out of their crease. And they've just got consistency. Yeah. And we didn't go slogging, but we were scoring at 5 and over.
Yeah, Carey. Phenomenal performance by Carey.
Yeah.
It's absolutely blows my mind to see what he did. I thought I'd actually don't know who won it officially. I thought he would have been hard done by not to win man of the match on his keeping performance.
Stark,
which is fair enough.
Stark.
I sort of get that, but you know, keepers don't really get much attention unless they make an error. And what he did was simply outstanding. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, you're 100% right, mate. We haven't done anything special. We've just played good, solid, hard nosed cricket, and the Pommies have rocked up playing one day cricket. You know, I don't watch a lot of cricket when they're playing in England. I only really, you know, follow the Aussies. But from what I hear, they're bashing out flat decks and they're just, you know, ripping through the run rate when they're playing home tests. They've come here against, with respect, our second string bowling lineup, and they haven't been able to handle it. I don't know how you can set yourself for 4 years for this, and this is what you've dished up.
See, I keep hearing this like second string team, but our best batters are now performing. We seem to have found an opener who can really play. Stark and Boland are still there.
Yeah.
And those guys, those bowlers, have been in and around that setup for 5-6 years. It's like our batting was 20-30 years ago when we had that many guys who could just step in. The bowling's like that now, and now Dry Richardson's taken 4 in the Lions game. If he can get back before the end of the summer, mate, 140 plus hooping in swingers and out swingers, mate, it just keeps coming. Just while I think about it, it's a codes, go to Code Sports and have a look for the Spanish dude. For those listening, you'll know the one I'm talking about with the moustache, just laughing his head off. That's outstanding. And if you're a fan of the great cricketer, go and listen to the first 8 minutes of their post-match review, and they just unload. It's actually outstanding. I wouldn't waste your time with the rest of it. You want to be back here listening to our podcast. But yeah, the first 8 minutes is so good. After good sporting events, so let's say New South Wales Origin win or Para have a good win or the cricket, I just can't get enough. So I go looking for everything. So I noticed Glenn McGrath was on the BBC podcast after final ball. And he was talking about because there was a couple of, you know, Aggers was on there and Vaughan was on there just giving it to the Poms. And McGrath actually said it pretty simply. He said, it's all well and good to try and get rid of the pressure by, you know, having no negativity and no accountability, but you can't just be positive. Like, there doesn't seem to be any accountability. And you've actually got to enjoy the pressure. You've got to embrace the pressure. And I think that's probably sums up why we've been so good for so long, because we're combative Australians. Like, we might rub people the wrong way in certain sporting events. It's just the nature of, whether you call it because we're a convict settlement, or whether you just talk about the melting pot of a whole lot of different nationalities or whatever it is. But our sport, we play hard. Like, we're coming for you. So you'd want to come, make sure you give it to us.
Yeah, correct, mate. It won't matter what sport it is, whether we're top of the world or whether we're a minnow. We're not going to give up a game or give up a series. You know, Ian Botham's famous for saying that you could take 11 blokes off Bondi Beach and you'd be in for a hard fight in a game of cricket.
Yeah, right. I love that one.
We're not going to roll over. So to see the Pommies come in and think that they're going to do what they play one day cricket and beat us in a test match, no hope.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Cummins is going to come back fresh in this next test.
Lyon will have a point to prove.
Yeah, spot on, mate. So, and then a couple of those batsmen with only a few tests under their belt have got a little bit more experience, a little bit more comfortable.
Mate, Jakey Weatherill was giving it to Archer the other night.
So you can't say he's not going to go into Adelaide a little bit more confident, more comfortable in his skin. Mm. I can't see. There's no out for the Poms. It's done. It's just a matter of how many of the next three are going to go our way.
Yep. And on the accountability thing, like he was talking about, there's no accountability. No one gets dropped. Here's the team. This is how we're going to play. Alyssa Healy talked about it as well. She said that they're in a bubble, and she said, I see Ben Stokes forever going up there and going, I need to do this differently. I need to do this better. But then he defends his team. Okay. Now, in leadership, that there's a certain degree of, you've got to protect your team, but you've also, there's got to be ownership. Like, there's got to be, like Healy said, where's Harry Brook getting up there in a press conference and going, I played two, actually it's probably more like four woeful shots now, and I need to be better. There's just none, and they don't get dropped because there's no one else to come in.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think they know that they're not getting dropped. You know, there's talk that they're unfit, and there's talk that they weren't ready for the test. So potentially
overworked as the
and now the next one was overworked. Celsius. You wouldn't read about it. So look, certainly some of it needs to come down to the management, McCullough, the selectors, etc. But if this is the best 11 they've got and there's no one they've got coming through, I know Australia A handled the British Lions quite convincingly during the week as well. If this is the best they got, they need to go back to the drawing board with fixed county cricket, because they're a long way off where we are. And there's no end in sight for these guys.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. A mate of mine who works in the private school system in Australia says, we don't produce private school international players. Now, I don't know if he said there has been none, but the numbers are really low. You're nodding your head, so you've heard this as well.
So I heard that podcast.
In other codes, we produce like lots of league and union players, but in cricket, they don't grow up like your young fellas growing up playing cricket against men.
Yeah.
Whereas here, just about every Australian's come from experience where they've played club cricket, because they're so good, they're usually playing like I did, obviously not at that level, but I'm playing seniors, I'm playing juniors in the morning and seniors in the afternoon against men, and you're learning what it's like to have to navigate people giving it to you, because no one holds back just because you're a kid. If you're there, you've got to be able to it. A lot of their cricketers come from that sort of private system where just there's none of that toughness.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't talk to the Pommy system, but just on the arse end of the junior system here in Australia. And I can tell you that the private schools here in Queensland are hooking into cricket as quick as they can. There's a lot of involvement, but you also go and play your club cricket. So regardless of what's going on with your private schools and what's happening, come Sunday, you go out and you play in your club side. And that can be, if to your point with seniors, with grown men from a very early age. My young bloke from 13 or 14 was been playing with grown men at club, low level obviously, And you just get used to that. And they don't give you, just because you're a young bloke, your own team obviously look after you, but the opposition doesn't give you a free pass, right? You've got to go and earn the runs and earn the wicket. So by the time they do get through, even if they are a couple of private school kids, they've earned it. Right, you don't just get given a golden pass to play first grade up here in Brisbane, and I would imagine Sydney's the same, right? So, yeah, you've earned it by the time you get to it, and it sounds like the Pommy system isn't producing those hard nose players.
Yeah, I can just give me a memory of a flashback playing for my brother's team. Me and my mate played because they were short. And we were playing against this fabled guy that they kept talking about, Madman Johnson, big left armour. And they didn't think I'd have to bat. But then in the end, we're batting out for a draw. And me and my mate both had to go out. And this guy was fucking mad. And his pants had ripped from like the front of his pants all the way to the back. So it was almost like two legs. And so and again, they've got like full slip cordon. They got a guy in close on both sides, and they are just giving it to you because they just do not care. They just want to win the game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So the private school thing, I reckon, will change, mate, especially from a Brisbane perspective. But it won't matter. The hard nose cricket will still come through, mate, with the way we go about it here in Australia, mixing in with the seniors. And you got to go. It's a fair hike to get from, you know, club cricket all the way up through the grades to play for your state or country. So, I can't see that changing in Australia anytime soon, mate.
No. Just lastly on the cricket, Steve Harmison, the old English paceman, was giving it to them as well. And one of the things he said, which I thought was really interesting, he said, like, for all that Brendan McCullum has done, he's got his own demons in Australia. Like, hasn't won here. They had a couple. They had one or two tours where they did well. He said, but look at the World Cup final. Like they dominated that tournament. World Cup final. McCullum admitted that he went for the big drive and just didn't watch the ball. He got bowled and they never recovered.
Yeah, no, 100%, mate. He'd certainly be thinking about it, whether he wants to admit it or not. So they don't look like they're prepared properly. If this is the best side that they've got, they're in trouble from a talent perspective. But then they don't look like they're prepared properly. They don't look like they're hard-nosed, ready to go for an Ashes series. So whether it's bullshit or not, but word on the street is they're in Noosa at the moment, and you only go to Noosa to have a relaxing holiday. I can tip you into that. So they're not up there flogging themselves on the training paddock to try and get ready. They're up there trying to get away and relax for a little while. So they're going to hit Adelaide, and Adelaide will hit them in the face, and God forbid if they get to Melbourne and Sydney and it's 3-0, 4-0, because the crowds there will be relentless.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of crowds, Adam Peacock said he was up there and the overflow for the press box was down the front next to where the Poms sat near the dugout. And he said on the other side of that is there's a whole lot of fans, and the English had their own security guard. And he was talking about how the security guard, if you heard something you didn't like, you'd be like straight on security and they'd be kicking these guys out. Now, if they're going over the top, I get that. But apparently a guy got kicked out because he stood up and sarcastically clapped Ben Stokes when he came off after getting out. Going, oh, well battered, Ben. Like, and he got kicked out. He's there with his wife and kids. He's not caught. Like, that can't be true. It can't be true.
That can't be true.
I'm watching the Perth test. And they're still allowed to do beer snakes, and there's obviously no, there's no different rules over there. I was like, mate, take me back to the, whereas here, they get kicked out for yelling at poor old Benny. Oh my God.
Surely that can't be true, mate.
Well, this is like, you know, he's saying it on a podcast, and he's
quite a, if they're that protective and they're that precious, frail, they're in all sorts of trouble.
We should talk just about what we did really well. I think they're going to wish they hadn't woken the beast, because I just think Smith's going to just be so determined. It reminds me when Archer pinned him a couple of tours ago, and then he came out and scored 200, and they were giving it to him because of the sandpaper thing. And he just got more determined just to churn out run after run. And as he said back then, and still to this day, he goes, Archer still hasn't got me out. And I can just see him really wanting to just grind them in.
100%, mate. The problem the Pommies have got, we're going into a batter-friendly Adelaide test and then the two marquee tests of the summer. So you're going to tell me that Smith doesn't want to score 100 on Boxing Day? You know, tell me Smith doesn't want to score 100 on his home deck in the fifth test? But they're treasured moments that, you know, you're going to remember forever. The crowd's going to remember forever. So for them to be poking Smith now, you know, it's genuinely like you see the team getting beaten by 40 starting an all-in brawl with 5 minutes to go. It's just, what are you doing? Where was this first over in Perth when you needed to get off to a flyer? So,
well, to be fair, that we sat here and we talked about that first day in Perth, how they bowled, and it was frightening.
Yeah,
but then
it lasted 50 or 60 overs, mate.
Not even. It was like
not even. Yeah. You're spot on with Smith, mate. I never thought about it, but when you play it out with what's coming up and where he's at mentally. It could get messy for him quickly.
Yeah, head at Adelaide, his favourite deck. Maybe not statistically, but it's his home ground. Loves batting there. We're batting well. Again, Cummins comes back in. Lyon comes back in. Let's just hope.
It's just a whisper that Uzzy's in gone with a chance. Yeah, no, well, just a whisper. There was just one article I read that Coach won't knock it on the head. He's talking that there could just be still an in for him. So I don't know, that must mean Inglis potentially, but surely not.
I liked what Kerry O'Keefe said, get the young bloke from Victoria. Yeah. He scored a good 70 in the first Australia A Lions game. Callaway, is it? He looked tidy. Another left-hander, but that's all right. But he looked like he had a good setup and ready.
Now's the time, mate. You're through the cycle, right? So we've just played India. We've just done the World Test Championship. We're 2-0 up against England. Now's the time, unfortunately, for Uzzy with his age, to get someone new in, because you're going to have a few, you know, easier summers ahead before you get back into the India and England and World Test Championship again. So now's the time to do it. I don't see much point of bringing Uzzy back, but where there's a little bit of a whisper in the Australian cricket team, it tends to grow. So let's hope not.
Yeah, and we're talking the big game. It's 2-0. There's still three tests to go, but history says teams just don't win tests in here, but three in a row, come on. It's over.
No. I think at best they've got a chance to get a draw in Adelaide, and something would need to go awful wrong with our batting and their bowling in the last two. So I'd be very surprised, mate. I mean, that's why we've got eight people listening to us, mate, for the big predictions. But
Nine now.
I would be gobsmacked, mate. I won't commit to 5-0, but I wouldn't be surprised with 4 and LA test. You know, we don't know what rain that we're going to cop in Sydney traditionally over the last few years, but 5-0 certainly won't shock from here.
Just on the listeners, the Cipelli episode, I might have said this last week, has certainly bumped the numbers, and they're sticking around. So they're obviously liking what they hear, Steve.
Good. And, let's hope I don't cop the comments that Cipelli got in the social media, mate. Some of them were not pleasant.
Mate, it's still going. They're still going. It's still going. Great, because the views of that particular highlight has gone up to like 90,000 or something, which is mind-boggling. Yeah. But they're still coming for him. We should mention, and we'll put it out there now, we want to get you guys involved, the listeners. So we're going to put it out there to, you can audition to come on the Weekend Review and share your views on a week. So if you're more of an NRL fan, wait for then. If you're into your cricket and you want to come on, then send us in a short, probably only 30-second. If you could go a little bit longer, that'd be fine. But just an audition tape, just talking about a little bit of analysis maybe from the Ashes so far, and if we like what we see through our rigorous screening process, we might just get you on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, mate. Hear a couple of the fans come on and give some words of wisdom. You talk about holding on for the footy season. I think it'll be on us as soon as the Sydney test is over. I think it'll light up again, but still bloody exciting with some cricket ahead.
Absolutely. And then for the footy season, we'll make sure we get the Dazzler on too, because that will be an episode well worth the price of admission.
It will be. The censors might need to check it before you drop the episode live, mate. But
exactly.
Yeah, I think the Dazzler would be a very, very funny episode.
It would. All right. Enough of us entertaining ourselves. We'll leave it there. Yeah. And thank you for everyone that does listen. We joke about the numbers, but they're steadily climbing, and we appreciate every one of you. Please do share if you're getting heaps out of this, particularly this review show. And appreciate every one of you. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.